We're going to play a video for you, and Jolene will talk more about it as we...
Made you a light for the world to see, America, my love. I made you a voice for the world to hear, America, you are my love. You are my love, you are my light, you are my song in the night. You are my smile, you are my voice in troubled times. Call to you. You are my light, America. You are my voice of my son. I brought you forth for myself, America, my love.
I do not care what anybody says. God called this nation to be a light. Yes, it has flaws. So does Israel. Yes, it has imperfections. But did I call my people to perfection? I said you would be a light shining in a dark place. I said you would be a hand that would feed the hungry. And I gave you oil to heal nations. And I gave you my breath to sing. Even your national anthem has my breath on it. Now they are foes. ISIS is not an Islamic state. It is a god that was worshipped centuries and millennia ago, starting with Nimrod. That same spirit has rested upon the East, Middle East, and is knocking at your door. You have acknowledged me as the Lord God of your nation. ISIS will cease to influence and exist on the streets of my soil, America and Israel and Western nations. You shall put your fist down on Turkey. You shall put your fist down on Russia, Syria, and Iran. ISIS, heads have been taken from children. I do not like that, says the Lord. Therefore, I have come to the earth to examine and to inspect, to see how I shall judge you in the presence of your enemies. No 9/11 attempt shall be be to their satisfaction, says the Lord. No, but watch Chicago and watch Michigan, for they are terrors that draw closer and closer to banish the sounds of praise. Israel has praised me and shall continue. My people, Ecclesia, shall praise me and they shall continue. Therefore, I am the guardian of this nation, and I will put a stop to it and expose in the fall until you realize that I have spoken and it is so, says the Lord of hosts. Come on!
Jolene wanted that to be played, and Kim Clement is a prophet, not as well known in the past. He has passed on. He's in glory. His prophecies are coming to light more today, and this is one of them, and we felt it would be good for you to hear that. I want to say that there are two nations in which God has put his hand and his blessings. They are Israel, through whom salvation came, and the United States, through whom salvation has been preached throughout all of the world. We are a special nation to God. We have turned away from God as a nation because we've allowed certain elements to come to power. And these elements have taken God out of school, out of the churches of note, and have taken God out of government, on and on it goes. That is going to return. It's going to cease. I believe that in the next few years, there's going to be a move of God like you've never seen. It's the final move, it's the final harvest, and it will be this nation. It is not going down. It's going to be this nation that's going to come to the forefront to preach the final message of the hour. The Lord is on his way. We're going to sing now a little song which you all know very well. Would you stand with me? God bless America, land that stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairies to the ocean, like with fall. God bless Let us just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we lift our nation before you, a nation established by men of faith under your guidance, and we have strayed from your ways. And God, we pray for our nation. Lift it up. Pour your Spirit upon us, Lord, and may we be established once more as a light on a hill for the great gospel that is yet to go out one more time. Bless us, dear Lord, we pray. Redeem us from our sins. Forgive us, dear Lord. May we reach out to you. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and Jolene is coming.
Well, it's been pretty good so far, I think, with all the things that they've covered. And I'll probably not speak as long as they are asking me to, because I will direct as the Lord leads us. I think this is a wonderful time to remember our nation. I do. Remember the church. And I thought of the Lord's word, remember me. And in Psalms 22, Jeannie mentioned it, there you see what he did for us. And upon the basis of that, we were to remember him whenever we would pass the communion emblems of his broken body and his shed blood. And I do believe that this is going to be a healing for our nation as they begin to remember him. Remember the Lord, remember his person and work. And when we do that, we're going to see God begin a time of restoration that we have not seen heretofore. Many are praying, and I thought of Jeannie's exposition. There was so much information. I understand a lot of it. You probably will have to try to recap again. But I thought 22 is a number of restoration. It truly is. It's the number of light. And that is extracted from the tabernacle. There were 22 lights on the lampstand as it stood in the holy place. 22 lights. Now you would have to go back to the book of Exodus and count those, and I did, and they are there. And so the light, I'm wondering if God isn't going to restore light of the gospel back into this nation, back into our pulpits, back into our homes and our all that we are, to remember him who will certainly remember us and has remembered us for the last 2,000 years, in which he has been the great intercessor. And I thought, Lord, yes, you died for us. And that was wonderful. But we never, ever think that he has lived for you and me and the church for 2,000 years in intercessory prayer. There hasn't been a day he hasn't remembered you. Not a day. There has not been a moment of his life. He neither slumbered nor slept while he prayed for every one of you. And I thought, Lord, we have forgotten you as a nation. I know that. And Israel had forgotten the Lord, their God, for days on end. He couldn't even number them. And now we're in trouble, and now we're coming to him for that, our needs to be met. But it is conditional in a sense. The Lord said, if you remember, repent, and return, I will remember, repent of what is coming upon you, and return my blessings unto you. And I feel this number 22, there are so many places it's used. But I was thinking of, Lord, are you turning on the light back into the tabernacle? That's what came to me because Eli, long ago, this is not quite my message, but it will be my message. But you remember in Israel, long ago, and there was a priesthood under Eli and his sons, and it had become very estranged from God. It was at the time that Samuel was born and sat in the temple, but they were doing all kinds of things to desecrate the things of God, and they were taking offerings ahead of the from the sacrifices. There were so many things going on, and it was the thing that really mattered to God is when Eli let the light go out in the tabernacle, and there was no revelation knowledge there anymore. And that was the only light in the holy place was the lampstand. And he had grown so weary that he just didn't wake up enough to put oil in those lamps and keep it burning through the night. And it went out. And because of that, God visited Eli, he visited Samuel and pronounced a great judgment that was coming to the house at that time. And it was carried out in the little words, Ichabod, for the Ark of the Covenant was taken into the Philistines, five cities of the Philistines. And there it was, and it brought such havoc on those cities. If you look today at what is happening in our cities, you ought to wonder, how are we ever going to get through this when our cities are certainly different than we have ever seen them in my lifetime anyway. And I look at the different ones, the crowds coming out, and I think, Lord, where are we? How can this be reversed? How can you bring something out of this? And then you remember that the ark had been sold down to the cities. And I don't remember all the plagues. But I do remember there was a plague of rats. And out of it came what probably was a bubonic plague. And there was widespread death. Now, we are seeing plagues today. Think about them. There was a sexual disease that brought death, insanity, and death, and they didn't know even how to deal with it. And there were other things that fell them until the cities, those five cities wherein the ark had been taken and had been placed in the same place as Dagon the fish god. Now, I'm not going into that, but please do some thinking, because that they're in those symbols we have what we probably don't want to think of, and that's where we're going. Dagon the fish god. You think about who was the modern day fish god religion. And I tell you once again, you need to think about what is happening in our nation. And perhaps some of these things are going to find themselves on those doors steps. But things became so bad, so awful for those cities that they didn't want them to bring them to the last two cities. Don't bring that ark down here, lest our cities be absolutely destroyed. And you'll remember the count I'm calling from memory. But they called all those of understanding and whoever they could call on down there that we need to do something with the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a consensus that they needed to send it back. Give it back where it belonged. And so they sought counsel as to how to send it back. And it was sent back on a brand new cart. It had, the lumber was pristine. It couldn't have been used for anything else. It was constructed. Everything was absolutely pristine. And they had to make, what else, images of some of the plagues, the hemorrhoids that they had, which was a sexual disease at that time. And the mice, they made golden mice, they made golden emeralds, they put them in the Ark of the Covenant. This was all knowledge from the God that they were serving, lest they be destroyed, that they needed to put these things in the Ark and send them home. And that's what they did. And secondly, the priesthood could, there was no priesthood to come and get the Ark. Now you need to think on that, and I need to think on, there was no priesthood to go down to the Philistines to fetch the Ark. Samuel probably was the only one that stood in the gap at that time, but he waited on God. And I think there's a message there that what God is going to do is a sovereign move of God, of which our Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for as well. Amen. Think on that. But what they did is they fetched mother cows, I guess, or whatever you would call them in that day, that had been freshly separated from their young. And they were going to pull that ark. And they had no one riding in the ark, but those two, I assume it was two, may have been more, but they would low in a manner that you just could hardly stand, because if you've ever heard a mother cow, as it were, separated from her young. I did in my young days, we lived on a farm. And you would know when a mother had lost their young one. I tell you, you could hear it all over. And that was the cry that they were making. They were lowing as they went. And they had to send them, not touch them at all, let them go. And those two cows had to have been guided by God in order to take the Ark of the Covenant up from the Philistines, back into its place. But it didn't go ever back to Shiloh, for the sins of Shiloh were so high and so great. God said, I will never return to Shiloh. And we are living in a moment when many times certain institutions, churches, whatever, it has reached the point that God is not going to return into what we would think as a restoration of the church. But he took that Ark of the Covenant outside to a new location. And there a great revival broke out. Praise the Lord. It was wonderful. But in route, let me just say this, and then I'll be closing. In route, as they brought it up, some in Israel reached out to touch it. And they were going to look in the ark. What did they send up in the ark? The King James Version tells you that 50,000 were struck dead. They were only curious. That means there's great returning great respect for the things of God. And he raised up a new priesthood under Samuel. That's a fact. Samuel went down, he raised up a new priesthood, and he restored them. But it was not restoration as they would have wished. And so I thought of, I'm going to have you turn to Luke 8, verse 16, and then I'll close. I wasn't planning on this, but it's all right because it goes with the message. I thought the message was wonderful as you saw the restoration of Israel connected to the restoration of America and the restoration of America to the restoration of Israel. This is the message this morning. But here is a charge the Lord would bring against the church. No man, when he hath lighted a candle or a candle, and I'm reading from Luke 8, verse 16. No man, when he lighteth a candle or a candlestick or a lampstand, covereth it with a vessel or putteth under the bed. And that's where the candlestick is. We are in bed with many things today as America. And you think about that, we are coming into a place of great judgment if we don't get out of bed with these things. And that means separation. Indeed, it does. But he setteth it upon a candlestick or a lampstand, that they which enter in may see the light. Now, that's what I believe these times of restoration are going to be. God is going to restore light in the lampstand in the holy place. Amen. And of the church. And there he's going to restore many things that have been taken from us. So many things that need to be restored. I didn't even know where to start. But there's something, a verse here that follows that makes me think that this is where we are. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything that shall not be known and come abroad. And what I just read to you is going to be the judgment beginning at the house of God. As the lampstand was raised up, it lighted what was going on in what we call the house of God today. Amen. And with that, God is going to expose. You heard Kim Clement say, expose, expose, expose many things. And it's going to be hard for us to bear, very hard for us to bear. But just remember this scripture, the light is going back in on the lampstand in the holy place, and it is going to be light in the house of God again. It's coming outside. I can't do anything about that, but it's coming back on. And thank you, Jeannie, for that elaborate study. Praise the Lord. I don't have a song to end with, but okay.
In the Red Book 493. Yeah, don't worry about it. Sing first and fourth verse, and this will be our close for Memorial Day. Memorial Day actually is a day of memory, of mourning, M-O-U-R-N, mourning the loss of those that have died for our country. That's what this day is. There are two other holidays. There's the Armed Forces Day and Veterans Day, but this is Memorial Day, remembering those that have given their lives for our country. And we've been a great country, we're still a great country, and God is still going to use them. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesties, above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Then verse 4 will close. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed. care. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shine in sea. It's been good being in the house of the Lord. I want to thank everyone that participated. I thank Jeannie, I thank Jolene, and I thank Mary for stepping in and helping us out. But I want to say one thing to you, and then I'm going to let you go. The train is going by the last time. The reawakening is the last reawakening. We're going to see a great outpour of God. I know it, I know it. But it's going to be the last one. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. God bless you. You're dismissed.